relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This is one of the things that's so weird is that they were very disparaging of Ukraine, and they were talking about the massive corruption of Ukraine and how horrible it was over there. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden they're looking at it like they're heroes.
Yeah. I mean, that's
the same exact people.
Yeah.
This is what's confusing. This is how the West was covering Ukraine before the war. It's welcome to Ukraine, the most corrupt nation in Europe. That's Vox. A new Europe, Ukrainian president rule becomes increasingly corrupt and authoritarian. Ukrainian President Zelensky deepens alliance with the far right. And this is one of the things that, you know, we're hearing from people on both sides, that they have a Nazi problem over there. There's a lot of Nazis involved in Ukraine. And there was something that I saw on Facebook where Facebook allowed – no, I don't know who the – this is what's so confusing about, you know, what they call the fog of war. It's not necessarily really the fog of war. It's the fog of the distribution of information.
The fog of the distribution of information. Poor Joe Rogan is confused. He has every right to be, but we have to help him. Why? He's got 8 million followers alone on Twitter and more on YouTube and elsewhere. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump, member of the National Security Education Board today, and this is America First One-on-One with a very special guest. Probably one of the most qualified in this stinking putrid city to talk about what is happening in the Kremlin today and whether or not this is the new Cold War. He is Michael Waller. He is senior analyst for strategy at the Center for Security Policy, author of Secret Empire, the KGB in Russia Today. Mike, welcome to America First One-on-One.
It's great to be with you, Seb.
All right, let's start at the big picture stuff. We've got to deal with the conspiracy theories, the tinfoil hattery, including on our side, sadly, for conservatives. But, okay, let's start with you. You were doing some interesting things during the real Cold War in the 1980s. Tell our millions of listeners across the planet who Mike Waller is and what's he done.
Oh, well, started out with President Reagan. I was a college kid in Army ROTC, and the Army wasn't doing anything. So I quit and joined the Contras in Nicaragua.
You just joined the Contras?
Yeah.
How does a kid join the Contras? Wait, did you go to the Contra recruiting office in your hometown?
No, it didn't happen. It was actually President Reagan's staff and Faith Whittlesey. You remember
yes,
Faith?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Yeah. So how did you know them? How did you know the administration?
So she was Morton Blackwell.
Yes, Leadership Institute.
So I was a skinny intern with a lot of hair back then and a Senate intern. And Morton Blackwell worked in that office. And he said, hey, come to something called CPAC 81.
Wow.
And then he disappeared right after Reagan was elected, went on the transition team. And so I kept up with him as a youth activist. And this is a question where you have people go to high places like in the White House and they bring young people along with them to recruit cadre. And that's how I made the connections to go.
So how old were you?
21.
And why were you such a hardcore anti-communist age 21, Mike Waller?
Because I was an environmental activist in high school against a nuclear power plant. And then I was dressed down in a self-criticism meeting where I was told this is not about the environment. This is about overthrowing American capitalism.
Oh, hang on. So there was like a Maoist self-critique session with your buddies, and then you saw the light that has nothing to do with Gaia and Mother Earth?
No, it was professionals. This is northern New England, and I was just 15 years old, and these were professionals from California who came in. We were just kids. We just cared about not dumping boiling water from a reactor core into the ocean where we'd go fishing with our grandpa. And that's what I was interested in. I didn't know anything about this other stuff. And then they tried to rip me apart for not being a communist. And this is how I should be. Like, I'm not going to do this stuff. So that's when I realized what subversion is. As a kid, I wasn't even old enough to drive.
Okay, and so you see the light very, very early on. Yeah. Then that flips you to the other side. You realize communism is the threat. Tell us what you did in the august, beautiful Reagan years we miss so much.
Well, we do miss
as much as you can.
Well, we do miss them. It was a great time, and he was an inspiring leader, and we had a fight, a national fight against the Soviet enemy in Moscow and everything it stood for as the Soviet Union and communism. So we wanted to fight them, and he needed young people to be in part of that fight. So I wanted to go to Afghanistan, and then Faith Whittlesey at the White House said, "No, you speak Spanish. Why don't you go to Central America?" And I went as a student journalist and then ended up getting in situations where I actually spent off and on the next 6 years with the Nicaraguan resistance and then with the Army of El Salvador against the communist guerrillas there. So I saw the fight against communism as an insurgent and then as a counterinsurgent.
We could talk about this for hours, you know, both of us so much children of the Cold War. Just give us that little, you know, the elevator pitch for those who didn't do what you did or who weren't the children of people who were incarcerated in communist prisons like I am. Talk to us about the nature of that war, how Reagan was fighting a swamp even then, and the importance of not just the kinetic, but the importance of really the ideological component of that conflict.
Yeah, well, it was the ideological component that was the hardest, because you pretty much had somewhat bipartisan support for modernizing our nuclear weapons systems. You had, well, senators like Joe Biden then, 100% against any kind of missile defense so that we could shoot down Soviet missiles. Biden spent half his Senate career making sure we never had a missile defense, and now he's on the edge of World War III today as president. So, but that was the subversive ideological side. So in the course of youth activism, met up with a guy, you remember, Herb Romerstein.
Oh, yeah.
He had been a communist as a teenager, and then he went to the House Un-American Activities Committee as a staffer, and then the Senate Intelligence Committee where we met. And then this was all the time that Soviet active measures was becoming known.
Okay, stop there. That was going to be my next question. So we're going to mention, we're going to drop a lot of big names from the Cold War, real heroes, some of them red diaper babies, but who saw the light. Talk to us about this concept of active measures, because this is something little understood, especially how we responded to it with the Active Measures Working Group. So explain the concept of active measures and how the Reagan administration attacked it.
Yeah. Active measures was a Soviet term of art. Like the word disinformation was a Soviet term of art.
Desinformatia.
Right. It didn't just mean fake info. It was a whole operative word. And it's used interchangeably now by people who don't really know what it means. But so active measures was the subversive side of warfare that ranged from lies, half-truths, propaganda, suggestion, recruitment of agents of influence, all the way up to guerrilla warfare and assassination even. But they would use guerrilla warfare and assassination mainly for psychological and propaganda purposes to demoralize the Western democracies and especially us, and to divide us Americans from one another.
And to confuse as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was the hardest part because these things just might be different interpretations of facts or different sets of facts. And so how could you know what's true and what's not?
Everything's gray, don't you know, Michael? It's all gray. There is no good and bad guys.
And if you would not be so reactionary, then we might let you get published in our Washington Post op-ed page.
And get invited to the right cocktail parties.
Yeah.
So how did that change under Reagan? Talk to us about the Active Measures Working Group. What was the real novelty of how that administration took on the ideological tradecraft threat of the Soviet Union?
Sure. It was the FBI's job then, as now, to defend the country against foreign propaganda. FBI never liked that job.
Yeah.
They
weren't good at it.
No, they weren't. And the old guard was gone. And when Hoover ran it, actually, he did a really good job and he unified the country at it. But since then, they didn't. So everything they did was classified, even if it didn't need to be. CIA, same thing. It was all classified. Reagan forced it to become unclassified and made it public. And both the FBI and CIA were kicking and screaming. They wanted nothing to do with any of this.
This is the Active Measures Working Group.
So he set up the Active Measures Working Group to combat Soviet active measures. This was the time when the KGB chairman, Yuri Andropov, took over the Soviet Communist Party, ran it right in the first part of Reagan's term, and then had really, Russian disinformation today is nothing compared to what it was in the 1980s. It's really Bush League compared to at that time. It was world class back then. So the Active Measures Working Group was an interagency group run out of the White House by President Reagan's personal staff. So it forced the State Department and the Commerce Department and the Treasury and CIA and Defense Department and others to work together as a working group to develop a strategy to expose Soviet active measures, to hold them accountable for it, to make the world aware of it, and then to fight back against it.
Right, and not in the black, not in the covert domain, but to publicly say, oh, that story about Americans inventing AIDS, guess what? That was birthed in Africa when a Soviet quote-unquote diplomat whispered it into the ear of an African journalist. It's all a lie. To educate the world to the fact that this is propaganda. I could do this for hours. We're going to treat you here on America First 101. If you enjoy listening to these shows as much as we love making them, be sure to subscribe. Go to your podcast provider like Spotify. Look for my name, Sebastian Gorka, and America First. Click the subscribe button, give us a little review, and share the links so you never miss a moment. That's Spotify, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Subscribe today, give us a review, and share the content because we have a republic to save. If you haven't done so already, make sure to reserve your tickets for our Stand With Israel tour 10 days later this year in the Holy Land. We are going to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth with my fabulous Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife. If you've just read about these places in the Bible, Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, the Holy Church of the Sepulchre, the shores of the Sea of Galilee, now you can actually go there. And if you've been before, well, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. Reserve your tickets today. Go to standwithisraeltour.com. They've revised their policies. I'm not vaccinated. I'm going. Join us. 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. Standwithisraeltour.com. That's standwithisraeltour.com. Did you know that the FTC reported a whopping 45% increase in fraud and identity theft claims in 2020? Our increasingly digital lives and massive shift to remote work has created easy targets for scammers and cyber hackers. You may have security systems in place for real life, but what about your online life? Identity Guard can sound the alarm if your digital presence is at risk. Identity Guard specialists have resolved thousands of identity theft cases in their 25-year history, and their concierge-level U.S.-based customer support helps you successfully navigate the uncertainty identity theft events can cause. If a threat is found, you'll get alerted fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked, or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. For a limited time, Identity Guard is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit identityguard.com/Gorka. Go now, identityguard.com/Gorka, to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. Certain terms apply. See site for details. Go today, identityguard.com/Gorka. We're talking to Michael Waller. Follow him right now on Twitter. Seriously, guys, with a war, with Biden going to Europe, you know it's going to get worse. So follow this man for the ground truth on what you need to know. J. Michael Waller. That's J. Michael Waller. And you've got to check out his seminal work, Secret Empire, the KGB in Russia Today. Let's start there, Mike. We'll talk about the insane conspiracy theories, but let's start with the facts. Who is Vladimir Putin? What did he do in the 1980s? And you've met the man, correct? You refused to shake his hand, but you met him.
That's right. Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah, well, Putin is just your run-of-the-mill KGB lieutenant colonel. He never made it to full colonel.
And a pretty garbage one, because if you're a good KGB operative, where do you go? Washington? You go to London, or you go to Paris, or, you know, West Berlin. Not Dresden! That's how bad he was!
Yeah, and he wasn't even a foreign intelligence officer. So when people call him a spymaster, they don't know what they're talking about, because he was never a spymaster.
No, he was politically made one later by Yeltsin, but that's another story after he'd been putzing around as deputy mayor.
And responsible for running all the organized crime rackets that were legalized under Mayor Sobchak in St. Petersburg. So that was Putin's portfolio, really running the thug operations for the city.
And the idea that he's some champion of the West or he's suddenly a protector of Christianity, Mike?
No, it's all his persona. It's to clothe himself in Russian nationalism because historically the Russian Orthodox Church was tied with the Tsars and the Russian state. So
there's no separation of church and state in Russia, guys. You have to understand, very different from here. You have to kiss the ring of the patriarch if you want to be the president.
Literally do.
No, yeah. I'm not joking. Yeah. So yeah, literally, you're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so, and if you go into the Kremlin, by the way, it's beautiful. It's full of churches. It's like, imagine the White House grounds being full of churches and chapels. I mean, don't want to make the comparison, but it's a pretty cool place to visit. But you're steeped in this wherever you go. Not even the communists took that away.
So he's an unreconstituted, mid-range, pretty poor-performing half-bird colonel in the KGB. What is he trying to do since he became president, since the quote-unquote Chechen bombing of the apartment blocks? This is a man who said several times on camera, the greatest geopolitical tragedy of the 20th century was the loss of the Soviet Union. So what is motivating him today? What is the end state, Mike Waller?
His first end state was making money for his cronies and for the economic machine, the gangster capitalism that built up the Russian state. His talent came in because Yeltsin put him in charge to run the secret police. Yeltsin never dismantled the old KGB.
No, it just got two new names. KGB became SVR and FSB.
Right. So the foreign intelligence, the spies were SVR, internal security, secret police was FSB, and then there were some other branches that had other names, but they all have the same ethos, and they all mark their founding to the day the Bolsheviks founded it in December 1917. So that first and foremost, Vladimir Putin is a Czechist.
Explain what a Czechist is.
This is Cheka was the abbreviation for the All Russian Committee to Counter Revolution and Sabotage. So it was Cheka, and if you were a member of that elite fraternity, you were a Chekist, part of the Chekisti. And he still calls himself a Chekisti, and he still celebrates December 20th as Chekisti Day. It's a holiday for him.
None of that history has been renounced.
Oh no, it's repeated
it's
every
part
year.
And parcel of these entities and of this man.
Yeah.
So making himself rich, because he is the richest man in the world. I mean, that is a statement of fact. Maintaining the inheritance of the Cheka, the organization that was the secret police of the Soviet Union. And then when you look at the last 20 years, him as president, is he recreating the Soviet Union? He doesn't want the stands because he's got far too many Muslims already. What is his goal geopolitically in the
a doctrine, and it's changed over time, but that's not to restore the Soviet Union as it was. It's to restore the old 19th century Russian Empire, what he calls historic Russia. So if you look at the map of what he means, it's a specific term. That means not just most of the former Soviet Union. It means Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, and Poland.
Yeah.
That means NATO countries.
Right.
So Ukraine is just a piece of what he wants.
It's
and he's been open about this even in the past few weeks.
No, that speech he gave prior to the invasion, where he talked about Ukraine isn't a real country, has no legitimacy. He has given speeches of that nature about the Baltic states and Poland publicly.
Yeah. Yeah. He's clear about it. Dmitry Medvedev, his former prime minister, who's now
deputy chairman of his
security council. Putin's the chairman. He's off to the side because he's a hopeless alcoholic now, but he is the one who's allowed to write crazy narratives that really presage what Putin's going to do next.
Medvedev is writing those crazy speeches?
Yeah. Not the speeches, but his own essays. So he had one up on Telegram the other day.
Medvedev
saying, questioning whether Poland really should exist and whether Poland's real. And so you know what these guys are thinking. Putin could silence whoever he wishes to.
And strangely, for those who think that this is an individual doing four-dimensional chess, he is a classic Soviet actor that he is reactive, meaning he will go as far as he can until somebody stops him.
Yep.
The old bayonet in the belly analogy. Yep. Until he feels steel, he's going to keep on pushing.
Right.
That's what he's doing right now. He's testing. Correct, Mike?
Right. So with Donald Trump, I mean, I've got to say, Trump didn't have the best strategy toward Russia, and he was pounded down for the fake Russian collusion narrative. So he was caught off balance. Putin never messed with Donald Trump.
Not even after we killed 200 of his mercenaries in Syria, which is shocking. He didn't even mention it.
He didn't complain. He didn't file a diplomatic protest. He's like, well, okay, those guys are out of the way, so what's next? So you can push the guy around easily. He's used to getting beaten up, which is why he's such a violent person anyway. He was picked on as a child. I have people who knew him as a teenager. He was part of a street gang that would pick on effeminate boys and rape them.
Wow.
And that's why when he learned English, learned German, studied law to become a KGB foreign intelligence officer, they accepted him into the KGB. But then when they did his deep background investigation, they said, no way, with this background, with your street gang activity, you're going to get blackmailed by the West. And they'll turn somebody like you.
Right.
But you'll make a great internal security officer to repress people. So we're going to train you in that. And then you're going to go supervise the Stasi.
Being bullied makes you a good bully, I guess. We're talking to Mike Waller. Check out if you want to send a message to this administration. It's the hottest item at the Seb Gorka store. It is the T-shirt with Zelensky sending his message back to the White House when they wanted to evacuate him. He said, I don't need a ride. I need ammunition. Get yours right now. SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorka, SebGorkaStore.com for all your America First gear. And, of course, it's America First gear, so it's made in America. Did you know 60% of U.S. pork production comes from one company owned by the Chinese? And their hogs are given something called ractopamine, which is banned in 160 nations, including China. Yet you find it in your grocery aisle every day. There's a better way. I'd like to tell you about Moink. That's moo plus oink. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. Moink's farmers farm like our grandparents did. And as a result, Moink meat tastes like it should, because the family farm does it better. The Moink difference is a difference you can taste, and you can feel good knowing you're helping family farms stay financially independent as well. You choose the meat delivered in every box, like ribeyes to chicken breast to pork chops to salmon fillets and much more. Plus, you can cancel any time. I just got my first delivery, and I'm rushing home to grill tonight. Shark Tank host Kevin O'Leary called Moink's bacon the best bacon he had ever tasted, and Ring doorbell founder Jamie Siminoff jumped at the chance to invest in Moink. Plus, they guarantee you'll say, oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got moinked. Keep American farming going by signing up at the moinkbox.com/GORKA right now. And listeners of my show will get a free filet mignon for a year. That's 1 year of the best filet mignon you'll ever taste, but for a limited time. That's moinkbox.com/GORKA. Moinkbox.com/GORKA. Okay, Mike, we've known each other for eons, probably millennia, and I've got you in the studio because you have been quite superlative on that cesspit that is Twitter. And I'm just going to read a couple of the tweets out and have you unpack why you posted them. And the first, I'm going to go in reverse order. You post an article from War on the Rocks concerning the first time Russia accused the United States of bio-warfare. And you retweeted this story. So talk to us about this bio-labs in the Ukraine that is spinning up even conservative heads, whereby they're saying, well, I mean, Putin's just defending himself from us.
Yeah, it's crazy because these programs have been in place since the Soviet collapse.
Well, who built those labs, Mike? Let's start with that.
The Soviets built them.
The Soviet military
built them. The KGB built some of them. And so the purpose of the U.S. going in to fund the initially was, let's take control of these. So Ukraine and Soviet property.
When it gave its nukes back, it didn't give the bio labs back.
Right.
So it would make sense for us to go, hey, A, secure the stuff that's there. And B, doesn't it make sense to find out what the Soviets were doing in those labs?
Exactly. Exactly. And then to develop antidotes to what they were doing. But they weren't necessarily bioweapons labs. So when you say biolab, you know, that's any high school in America.
Right.
That's any hospital. They all have biolabs. So it sounds really sinister that there are all these biolabs, which is how the Russians built their propaganda on it. But because it's a Biden-funded thing that Victoria Nuland, the number two at the State Department, flubbed up on when she answered a question of Senator Rubio, now it's all sinister, and now all the conservatives are suddenly experts on Ukrainian biolab, saying we all know it's the Biden administration with Zelensky biowarfare plot,
right.
Which happens to be the Russian propaganda line.
Which is why you'd be talking about it in open session in Congress.
Right.
Because if it's such a thing, you definitely wouldn't be talking about it.
Right. Yeah.
Address the criticism that, well, hang on, that was 31 years ago. Why are we still giving money to these labs 3 decades later?
Well, first, it's a good question. If it was simply to secure this material, then why not secure it, destroy it, and move on? If it's to prevent from working for the Iranians or something else,
right.
Okay. Well, 30 years ago is a whole career ago.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys are retired by now for the most part. What are we doing? What are we? They're not hiring other guys to do bioweapons warfare, but they are hiring Ukrainian scientists to discover cures for Ukrainian crop blight or different types of diseases that are unique to that part of Europe and a whole range of other things that do need to be secured, because if these samples do get out of the labs, it'll be a problem. Not on the scale of the Wuhan virus. That's a class 4 lab, totally different
yes.
facility. That's a bioweapon facility that the U.S. was funding in China, which we still haven't come to terms with. But this is just none of the public information ever, and most of the information is public, has ever suggested that these were bioweapons labs that remained active.
And wouldn't it be weird in 2005 for a brand new senator from Illinois to attach his name to a bill, I'm talking about Barack Obama, saying, let's give some money to these bio labs? Wouldn't it be, if this was an attempt to plan something in the covert realm to use to attack Russia, you wouldn't have senators putting their names to it, would you?
No, and you wouldn't do it right on the Russian border.
Right.
With Russian-speaking Ukrainians, some of whom, you know, have relatives in Russia, or they're really paid a pittance, so it's easy to give them a little extra to help out. The last place you would have a bioweapons lab is in Ukraine.
But let's talk about Victoria Nuland. Her statement in her interview really spoke to me as someone who has no idea what she's talking about.
She was trying to spin something, because Rubio asked her a yes or no question.
Right.
He said, does Ukraine have biological weapons? And rather than say yes or no, she said neither. And she started going into this thing, well, we're funding these bio labs. And then everybody just latched on to that. So was she trying to spin something? We don't know. Was she trying to cover up something? A skeptic could I would say, yeah, it sounded like she was, but there's really nothing to cover up. It looks like she just flubbed something terribly. But there.
And if she was trying to cover something up, she didn't do a good job.
No.
Not very impressive.
No. No, and she's the strategist behind all this.
Yeah, and she's been there for a long time.
What she might have been covering up, though, is contracting programs, because there's a lot of favoritism among these sort of permanent or these temporary programs that become permanent that are run through the Pentagon and through Agency for International Development.
So, using our taxpayer money.
Yeah.
We're talking to the author of Secret Empire, the KGB in Russia. Follow him. He is on Twitter, Michael Waller, J. Michael Waller. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code GORKA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code GORKA. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code GORKA. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA. So, as I said, one of the big reasons, I should have done this earlier in a mea culpa, that we got you in studio for a one-on-one, is these great tweets. And I felt like I'm surrounded you know, lone voice in the wilderness saying, guys, enough with the kooky theories. And then suddenly everybody's piling on me as some kind of globalist shill for Klaus Schwab out of the WEF. Yeah, the guy whose parents escaped communism, he's the shill for the globalists. And then I see Mike Waller tweet this. Just because our intelligence and national security communities are politicized, our military leadership is woke, and the Soros WEF cult are out to destroy humanity in cahoots with Xi Jinping, it doesn't mean that Vladimir Putin is a good guy. And the last line is the thing that really touched my heart. Pathetic to have to say that. Yes, it is. And I'm going to juxtapose that with a tweet from somebody I like, who's quote-unquote a conservative. He's a comedian, so I don't know why you're commenting on geopolitics, Tim. A lot of geopolitical biolab Sovietologist experts been born in the last 4 weeks saying, Putin being evil, a murderous tyrant who needs to be stopped, doesn't make Zelensky a good guy. Well, it doesn't make him a bad guy either, does it, Mike?
No, it doesn't. And whether or not he's a good guy or a bad guy shouldn't matter to us.
Right.
Because you have a country that's very important, that's right on the borders with our allies, where the people actually want to fight to defend their country. I don't think you'll see Germans fighting to defend their country the Ukrainians would.
This blows my mind. If we say we're conservatives, shouldn't we de facto just respect and even try to help a guy who's fighting for his national sovereignty? Is that like a principle of MAGA and America First?
It's exactly. He's doing what anyone would expect a leader to do, and that's ask for whatever help possible. So if he's asking us to help him more directly militarily, that's his duty as the president of his country. It's our duty to figure out what's in our interests.
Right.
And so we can't get mad at him for asking for help and for getting upset that he doesn't get enough. It's a fight where you've got a real brave people who are taking on the Russians, just like Finland did in the late 1930s. They defeated the Soviets. And Ukraine can do the same thing, too, if we just give them the tools.
All right, we'll talk about what we should be doing in a moment. But first, I have to keep addressing this because we need to kill this baby in the cradle. I'm sorry, the monster of conspiracy theory. So they call him a puppet of the World Economic Forum, which, by the way, Putin went to many, many times. They call him a Nazi, despite being a Jew whose relatives died in the Holocaust. And they say that Ukraine is a hotbed for Nazis that are committing genocide against the Russians. Can you just talk to these theories, Mike?
That last one, that Ukrainian Nazi genocide, has been a Soviet propaganda theme since the 1950s. Since the 50s. This was back when the United States was supporting a Ukrainian resistance movement to fight Stalin's forces and the forces right after Stalin for an independent Ukraine. And it failed mainly because the Soviets had penetrated the British Secret Service.
Yeah.
So to call them Nazis today is just warmed over Stalinist propaganda.
And the Azov Battalion that allegedly is running Ukraine.
Yeah. It's a military unit of about 900 men.
Yeah.
And it was founded in 2014. And some of the guys were neo-Nazis. And they had, months later, the Ukrainian government took over the unit, purged it, and made it part of the regular Ukrainian military. So now they're saying, well, there's a letter N with a slash through it, and that's a Nazi symbol. No, it's not. It's an ancient Viking runic symbol that means wolf trap. So what's so Nazi about a 1,000-year-old symbol? It's just part of Ukraine. You go to the Vikings settled Ukraine.
Yes.
They founded the city of Kiev. They founded what's today the Ukrainian nation and the Russian nation. So it's all just ancient history for them. There's nothing Nazi about it.
And this idea that he's a puppet who was installed by the globalists and the KGB colonel is a force for Western civilization fighting the globalists?
Yeah, that's kind of the way the narrative has been twisted. Remember, the globalists wanted President Zelensky to run away.
Yes.
They wanted him to flee his capital, to go to Lviv, which is a city near Poland, or maybe even to leave Ukraine and go to Poland and run away from the fight. He shocked them. He upset them. He angered them by saying, no, I'm going to stay. I don't want your ride. I want your ammunition. And that freaked everybody out because you'd notice there was no strategy on the Biden administration part to support him. There still really isn't. It's just knee-jerk responses to what he needs and to what other European countries say. You know, shame on us for having no strategy. Talk about sovereignty.
Yeah.
The United States is not exercising its own sovereignty because it's not taking the lead. And we haven't even decided what's in our own national interests and what isn't. Even the Biden administration hasn't.
All right. Mike Waller is in the NSC. What is he saying to the chief strategists in the White House when it comes to helping Ukraine? I wrote a piece for Heritage where I said, got to unleash U.S. energy because that's the only thing that hurts Putin. Got to move our troops to areas that matter. They don't want to be sitting in Germany. They should be in the Baltic states, Poland, and Hungary on the front line. And then provide as much weaponry as we can and intel packets for targeting the Russians to Kiev. What would you add?
I would say adjust the sanctions. We don't want to sanction the Russian people.
Yeah.
It's not like a color revolution thing that the globalists would want because the Russian people are not organized.
They're not even going to do that.
Right. So why are we sanctioning, you know, banning Pink Floyd, you know, and not allowing average Russians to buy groceries? This is playing into Putin's hands. He's saying the whole West hates all of us.
It strengthens him.
It proves his propaganda because he's saying they're not out to get just me. They're out to get every last one of you, and they want to sanction you every way they can. So I would go much easier on the Russian people and show this is not a war against the Russian people. Then I'd play sanctions games with the oligarchs. Have targeted sanctions against some oligarchs.
It's the only time sanctions ever work, unless it's for very high-tech equipment that's required for WMD, which they always get around anyway with dual use. It is the targeting of individuals at the top of the regime and the buddies at the top of the regime. That is the only kind of sanction that works. We're talking to Mike Waller. Follow him, J. Michael Waller, on Twitter. Dear friends, it is Lent. Are you fasting now and again? Are you watching what you eat? I know it's hard, but I want all of you. We need to retake the republic politically, one school district at a time, and I want you to be the healthiest you can be. How do I do that? I take an amazing product. It is called Balance of Nature. Dr. Douglas Howard takes just vine-ripened fruit, fresh vegetables, freeze-dries them, and in 6 capsules, 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables, I get 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Things I just, you know, kale, it's evil. I don't eat it unless it's in a capsule. Right now, if you order it, you could be the healthiest you could be. Do it today. Get 35% off and free shipping from Dr. Howard if you use my name. Go to balanceofnature.com, promo code BALANCE, or call 800-246-8751. Do it today. You won't regret it. If your loved ones are concerned for your health, if you just want to be the healthiest you can be, do it today. Call 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com, and use the massive promo code BALANCE for that huge, huge discount.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So earlier, Mike, you said the president's strategy on Russia wasn't the best, and then he got all sidetracked or derailed with the Russia hoax and Mueller and everything else. You've so been living this for 40 years now, fighting communists across the globe. I know he's running. God willing, if we do our part, he will be in the White House with no restrictions because second term is the only term he can fill, so he can do whatever he wants. What is the correct Russia's strategy, and also, given your expertise, the correct counter-ideology mechanism, whether it's Iranians, North Koreans. We need a new kind of active measures working group, at least, don't we?
Sure, sure. To deal with not only Russia, but China, jihadists, you name it. Right. Yeah.
So talk to us about the right Russia strategy.
The right Russia strategy for now, like if we had to have one right this minute.
Yes.
First, you create a back channel into people who are around Putin. Right now, Biden and the World Economic Forum and everyone else have made it so it's impossible for anybody to talk to other Russians without being branded a Putin tool.
Everybody's been shut out.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got to find people who you can talk to who could maybe help us what?
Sort of a Rudolf Hess kind of moment where we don't know if he was a Hitler insider who flew to Britain.
UK.
And the story was he was trying to defect or trying to arrange something separate. We never knew the truth about it. But you need that inside Putin's inner circle. The only change in Russia is going to come from Putin's
from the
inner
top.
Circle.
From the top. Yeah. Good. All right. So back channel. I love it. What else would you do with regards to Russia, either now or in a second Trump administration?
I would make sure that the communist Chinese don't take advantage of the gift that Biden has given them. Now the communists are coming in. They're buying up cheap Russian assets. They're merging with the Russian banking system. They're getting access cheaply to Russian technology and raw materials the way they never could before. So if you look at what Biden's been doing toward Russia, everything has been benefiting Xi Jinping.
Yeah.
To the point of bringing in China as a mediator in a European war. So anything we do with Russia has to be at the expense of China, because as bad as things are right now with Russia and Ukraine, it's going to be nothing in comparison to the way China's being empowered.
And nobody is more wrong in geopolitics and international relations than Francis Fukuyama. History didn't end, Frank. So, Mike Waller, how do we get America to be serious again about counter-ideological capabilities? What does that look like?
Well, it's really hard to do because our government can't do it. Because every time our government does it, well, they can do it if they do a transgender. That's
they
propaganda.
Can do the bad version.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
But they're propagandizing us on evil things like all of this stuff. But in terms of countering bad ideology, we couldn't do it well against the jihadists after 9/11.
No.
We couldn't even say the word jihadist.
Right. So
we both worked at Fort Bragg. We were shut up about those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. My briefing slides for the FBI was censored because you're not allowed to call Al-Qaeda jihadists, even though that's what they say they are. So are you saying that this has to be done outside of government?
Yes. It's more efficient. It's easier. You can do what you want.
It's
not expensive.
Love it. Okay. Last question. I remember a conversation I had with you. I think before I entered the White House, where you were contemplating leaving America, and I said, we don't. We die here on a pile of brass if necessary. That was at least 5 years ago. You're still here, Mike.
Still here.
What does that mean?
It was just a frustration sort of ruminating what it would be like and then saying there's no place left to go. No, my ancestors settled here. We were the first ship after the Mayflower in 1621. So I'm not leaving. I'm going to die here. But I don't feel like it's America anymore. But at that time, we all felt pretty alone 5 years ago. Now we don't feel that way anymore. We're united, right? So many of us who are so frustrated with things, we felt this isolation and we didn't dare say how we really felt. Now it's like, no, we have to fight back because we're all experiencing the same thing. There are people who just want to destroy our whole culture and our whole way of life. We're never giving that up.
I got to ask you, I mean, that is a function of MAGA and Trump, is it not?
It is, absolutely.
That he came up and he said, I don't care what the establishment says.
Yeah.
And then we realized that there's at least 74 million of us.
Yeah, yeah, at least.
Good. All right. The book is Secret Empire, the KGB in Russia Today. He's actually met Putin. He's not one of these bloviators in the swamp who's never met him. I've just ordered my copy. You've got to follow him also on Twitter. A very, very good Twitter game. Do it today. J. Michael Waller. You've been listening to America First one-on-one. Wherever you are, keep your head on the swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.